Thank you very much. Very important. Trust God. With God in our lives, it makes a difference to us. Over these last few weeks, we've been thinking about who's helped us on our journey. And how does that make a difference to us? And last week we were asked, what difference would we make if we didn't know Jesus? I found that a hard question to answer because in my life I've been lucky in one way that I was brought up in a Christian family. Therefore, God has always been there. Some people it isn't. Just want to do a few 2 minutes thinking about that passage that we read, and then we're going to break into groups, and we've got only a couple of questions to think about today, so it's not too many questions to think about, but it's important. It's important that we do this. In that passage from Corinthians that Tori very kindly read for us, in the end verse of chapter 6 that we read, 6 and 2, says, in the time of my favour I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. As Mark just said, putting your trust in God is vitally important. This is what Paul is reminding the church in Corinth there, isn't it? Put your trust in God. Whenever you're going to speak about God, you need to put your trust in him. Every single Christian I know and have heard about, if they're going to talk, particularly in a big meeting or in a church service, or they know they're going into a situation where they've got to talk about God, they pray. Or they ask somebody else to pray for them. And Paul says in this passage, look at what I do, but don't look at it for my glory. Look at it for God's glory, because I am doing God's will. I don't want to have all the praise and all the glory. A lot of people around the world want to do things so that they can get the recognition, they can get the glory, etc. Paul was very humble. He said, no, it is not for my glory. It is for God's glory. We need to follow that example. Verse 16 says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We try to view them as God does. This is our challenge, isn't it? To try and view people as God wishes to view them. Have you ever been asked a question by somebody, maybe in the street or in a group discussion or in a church or at a workplace, and you think, why are they asking me about God? They're not right for God. They don't fit in to my stereotype fitting image of God. God doesn't look at what we look like on the outside. Doesn't matter how beautiful we are, how not so beautiful we are, what size we are, he doesn't care. He looks at the inside of us because he knows what we can do. He knows he loves us. We that have let God into our lives know that we love him. And we need to tell that story. We need to share that story by what we do and what we say. Saul, of course, was going to go around and kill the early believers, wasn't he? He knew about God. He knew about Jesus. He knew about the way, as the Christians were referred to in that time. He knew there was something different and he was going to persecute them. And he had successfully persecuted a lot of the early people, the early church, because of what they were doing. Until God intervened and said, no, you're not. I'm going to build it. You're going to help build my church. God can do the same for us. He probably will not do a dramatic conversion like he did for Saul. He may do. He may do to our friends and family. Brilliant. The chances are that the majority of us will just gradually make a decision by people speaking to us, or what they say, how they react in different situations. I'll give you an example from this church family. I've got permission to share this story, so this is quite all right. You may well have heard us talk about a lady called Gina. Now, Gina is part of our church family, and unfortunately it must be 3-4 years ago now, somewhere around there. She was at Sainsbury's at Oxney Road with her sister, and she got hit by a car. Absolutely horrible, horrible accident. And she ended up spending 9 months in hospital. And there were quite a few times during that time that she was in hospital where it was touch and go. Since she's come back out of hospital and she's now at home, she has gradually got stronger and stronger. Through our prayers, through the care of the medical team and the carers that have been put in place to look after her and help her and her husband Peter. Gina has been a fantastic witness for God in that situation, because as she's built her strength up, as well as us various people from church coming round to see her, she said, "I want to get back to church." She has been here a couple of times, but now most weeks she comes to Kingfisher Court and her carers come with her. She says, "I need to get to Kingfisher Court. That's my church." She has been a witness without actually saying the word, as far as I know, saying the word God. But she has been a witness, and that witness has made a difference to her carers. Actions speak louder than words. Words are important, which is why we need to think about our stories. Which is why we need to give and say at every opportunity we can. Sometimes we can't find the words, and I struggle sometimes. But hopefully somebody else is around that will do it. So, you've been asked to think during this week about the question, about what has God been doing in your life in the last year or so. Could be quite a hard thing, couldn't it? Okay, so we're going to break into our groups. Men, if you want to get together, you can. If you want to stay with the ladies, it's up to you. I don't mind. If we can break into groups of about 5 or 6 people, move the chairs. And what I want you to do, encourage you to do, is you've all thought about this question, at least for the last 5 seconds. Share, every one of you, share one thing that God has done in your life in the last year or 2 years that you can remember.